Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 21st of May, recording at 5:13 p.m. British Standard Time. Now, the Friday audio, or the last audio of the week, is always the big picture, long-term outlook. So here goes, starting with stock markets. I maintain that the very good medium-term rally from March last year, March 2003, is for all intents and purposes over, and that we have entered a more dangerous phase for global stock markets. We've been in it for several months now, and this is all taking place within the confines of what is a secular bear market for Wall Street, which I will define here as a generation of P/E ratio contraction. Now, against that type of environment, I think that the best we can expect from stock markets, or let's start with Wall Street, the best that we can expect from Wall Street is the sort of pattern that we had back in the from late 1960s through the 1970s and right into the early 1980s. That is, there was a ceiling on the market, on the Dow, at 1,025. Markets rallied up to that level on several occasions, but then had bungee jump declines on the way down, the worst being in 73-74. And P/E ratios were working their way downwards, and yields were moving upwards, because investors were basically just disillusioned with equities at that time. Whereas in the long secular bull market, right on up into sort of 1967, 1968, P/E ratios were expanding and yields falling as investors were becoming increasingly more optimistic. Now, we certainly saw from the early to mid-1980s onwards another big secular bull market. You know all about that, and it was all about expanding P/E ratios, my definition of a secular long-term bull market. And we're now back into a secular long-term bear. Now, no market is likely to uncouple from a serious downdraft on Wall Street. That's point number one. So there's no safe haven in stock markets when we get a major sell-off on Wall Street. That's always been the case, and people are hoping or saying that from time to time that Asia is becoming more independent, bigger consumer market there, huge economic development region, large population, very promising growth story. I agree with all that. Therefore, on the up phases, when Wall Street's getting the medium-term rallies, and I think that these will overlap for most stock markets, then I will want to concentrate in Asia. And if I ride anything out, as I am doing currently, in terms of downside risk, I will ride it out with positions in Asia, although they generally have a higher beta. So they'll move up more, but they will generally fall more during the shakeouts. So again, to repeat that point, when Wall Street's in a bearish phase, there really isn't any safe haven. Now, where are we right now? So as I said, I felt that the medium-term rally that started in March last year had run out of steam. We're in a ranging phase. The best that I see for the rest of the year is stock markets remaining in this ranging phase, with some of the indices perhaps going up and testing the higher side of the range, possibly a few new highs, but no meaningful gains on the upside. That's my current view. And I think that the risk that we could see a further sell-off over the next few months is really quite high, but not at the moment. As you know, we had those upward dynamics taking place a couple of days ago, and Wall Street is firm in here today. We had three factors which contributed to that rally. First, before I just review current levels on the markets, markets were oversold in the short term. I had mentioned that They were back in the region of their 200-day moving averages. Now, there's nothing magical about a 200-day moving average, but it's the most widely followed sort of medium-term trend smoothing indicator that people will look at. And if a lot of people look at it, then it does make it important. And so, while some indices such as the Dow and the Nasdaq had broken their 200-day moving averages, most markets were right around, and some of the Asian markets had as well. A number of markets are still right around those regions, including the important S&P, and they did bounce from those levels earlier in the week. And I felt as there was a third factor to mention there: short-term oversold condition, proximity of the moving averages, the third ones. Oh yes, of course, the proximity of the March lows. I was going to say the third one had eluded me for the moment, but it was the proximity as of those March reaction lows. And so there was some expectations or hopes that markets would bounce from those levels, and indeed they have. Now, how far we go, I would love to see, as you know, a move back up into the middle of the trading range and even to the higher side of the trading ranges, and that's possible. And if that does happen to be the case, I will almost certainly be doing more shorting of stock market futures indices, because at the moment I have more longs in Asia and some gold shares that I've been holding for a very long time than I do in than I have short positions against those positions, against the longs. Okay, how to actually play it? Well, it's going to be risky, and I will regard it as a trading environment overall. I think for the captive investors, as I refer to them, those people who are always in the stock market, investment managers who have to be in the stock markets, I would go for value rather than growth, unless that growth happens to be exceptionally high and not on some sort of silly multiple. In other words, it really will take an exceptional company to outperform, I think, in the environment going forward, at an acceptable outperform, say, at an acceptable risk. So I would go for value, which I would describe quite easily as generally low multiple, high yield stocks, and I would put the emphasis on the high covered yield, I should add. And of course, there is a risk that if economic conditions deteriorate, that yield cover can vanish. But I will not be trying to do that. As you know, I've reduced my overall equity portfolio very, very substantially in recent months, and will continue to do so in future, given opportunities to do so. And I am looking much more towards the bear side, but for that I won't use individual shares. I will use the futures markets because they're around-the-clock trading, and it's far better in terms of stops and so on, and the spread betting systems that I actually use. Now, what about global bond markets? And here I maintain that the secular bull market ended in June of last year. It was about an 18-year bull market for global bonds, and I really do feel that we have quite limited upside potential in this sector, and that we are in a top development phase. It's a latter stage of the top development phase. I've mentioned this many times. Now, very recently, we've seen the US Treasuries and other government bond markets bounce from proximity of their August reaction lows. Well, that's what US Treasuries have done, and the other patterns are not dissimilar overall. Some didn't come down as far as the US Treasuries. Most didn't come down as far as the US Treasuries. But this will be the this will be the key market to actually watch. So we've been seeing a technical rally for the US Treasuries, but I think that's going to be limited in term to top formation development overall, and that we will really see further declines in U.S. Bond futures, in bond futures, I think, for all governments, therefore rising bond yields. And one wants to be very careful. And I think the main exceptions will be when stock markets are very, very weak, and then we'll get some safe haven, temporary safe haven retreat to the bond markets. But I'm looking for a big long-term bear market in government bonds, and therefore I am not buying for bounces here. I wait for bounces, and then I start selling on a baby steps basis. I take some profits when they come down. I'm currently completely out of the U.S. Treasury market. I've got a few JGB shorts, as you know, and I'm looking to sell the U.S. bond market again, hopefully at somewhat higher levels. Now I realize I'm going through this. Now let me just comment first of all. I realize I haven't reviewed what's happening in here today, but I will in a moment. But I just mention also on corporate bonds, if the outlook for stock markets is deteriorating, the risks with corporate bonds is rising. So I'd be very careful there. If you have to be in bond markets, I'd keep the money in short maturities. There will be opportunities to buy, and that will be after we've seen big stock market sell-offs. I don't mean something like the reaction that we saw up until a few days ago. I'm talking about much bigger stock market sell-offs. If you get a panicky stock market sell-off, that will create the conditions for a technical rally, and it will also create some good opportunities, particularly in the high risk bond area, high yield bonds, for a bounce back. But it's a bit of a dangerous game in here overall. It would be nice to be making this audio and saying, look, folks, we're going to get a major multi-year move on the upside, and it's just going to be like the second half of the 1990s. But of course, and whether that happens or not, and I certainly don't think it would, but it would be totally insincere. I'm just going to call it as I see it. Yeah, I think you know that. But new subscribers are coming in all the time. So I mentioned that I'm neither a bull nor a bear, a born bull nor bear, neither a congenital bull nor bear, but I hope to be a realist most of the time. I think what we all need to do is just to strive to hang on to our analytical objectivity. Okay, what's happening here today? We had a bit more of a bounce in Asia. We had the same in Europe, but then they sort of sold off late in the day. Mostly declines among the European stock markets. But Wall Street's been helped. I think after most of the European markets had closed, we had OPEC come out and say that they were going to try to increase production by 2 million barrels a day. And that pushed the oil price down and has helped Wall Street to rally up. So the Dow's up 86 as I speak, and the S&P 8, and the Nasdaq 16. As I said, I hope this rally continues, and that will give me a chance to. Well, I would take advantage of further strength in one of the some of the few remaining equity positions that I have that are not in Asia, and I think the Asian ones would are unlikely to see a really significant rally, but I'll be looking to sell short. Okay. Now, in terms of currencies, and I think this is really quite interesting here, Kristen, as far as the long-term picture goes, we do not get, as I've said before, the huge once-in-a-generation cyclical secular moves in currencies, the main reason being that no government wants a strong currency in what is effectively perpetuity for the governments of the day, because it makes makes their exports so uncompetitive. So we tend to get shorter term moves, and it's unusual to see currency moves of more than 2 or 3 years. Now, recently, we have seen last few months, that's what I mean by recently, we've seen a dollar stock market rally. That's improved sentiment towards the dollar, naturally enough. The dollar was rallying from a deeply oversold condition at a time when the Japanese and well, the Bank of Japan and the Ministry of Finance in Japan, at least, and also the European Central Bank in Europe and the politicians in Europe were all complaining about the strength of their currencies against the US dollar. And so they jawboned and intervened, at least the Japanese intervened quite aggressively, as you know, and we had a good dollar rally, and that carried up to 115 yen against the Japanese currency, which is a major resistance area, and if I had any position there right now, I would be short the dollar against the yen. It also pushed the euro down, the dollar's rally pushed the euro down to 117.75, which it has touched and bounced from on a number of occasions. And we're right here at 120. Now we have been higher today, up at 120.72, but we've given up some of those gains as Wall Street has rallied. But I maintain that there are some indications. A good chance, I'd put it at about 50-50, that we have seen the reaction lows for the euro and the yen. In other words, we've seen the rally highs for the dollar in this phase, and the dollar is re-entering a weaker phase, and we'll go back and test its lows of a few months ago. Now, the weakness in that argument, if there is one, is that there may well be some dollar carry positions out there that have not been unwound and that will be unwound at some sort of future date. But at this stage, if I had any position in currencies, and I don't at the moment, unusually for me, but if I had any position here, I'd be looking to re-short the dollar. overall, and it is not hard to protect with excuse me, with stops, which you could put right near the dollar's recent highs. Now, I for the most part, I'm just looking for, say, trading ranges overall in these currencies. A more interesting area, I believe, but very much under the influence of what happens to the US dollar, is in the commodities, and mainly the industrial commodities, and among those, especially the metals. And I've been building up some long positions in the last few weeks in metals. And it's been a risky strategy because we'd seen very, very big falls and correcting some very overbought short-term conditions, but those big falls broke the medium-term upward trends that we had seen in the metals, and therefore that creates a new ball game, to coin a phrase. And sometimes, even though they may be cheap, it requires a long convalescence and so on. But if the dollar is now in a weaker phase overall, and as I say, that's at least a 50-50 chance, then metals are, from these current oversold levels that we've seen in recent weeks, are certainly going to see a further recovery. And we've seen a bit more of that today. Actually, it's been quite impressive for some of them. For instance, gold is currently at 385.50. It was up a little bit higher. It was up nearly $2 higher. But as I say, the euro has come off its highs. It was up at that 120.72 against the dollar, and it's now at 120. Palladium up $9 as I speak, and these are all real-time prices now too. So it's currently at 249 on the June palladium. Good rally in platinum, 816. All of the charts for these metals show these losses of downside momentum and the firming tendency overall. The silver market, where I have a big position, has been really quite volatile. It's sort of been in a 578, this is the July contract, 578 to 596, currently in the middle of that range at 586.87, up 8 to 9 cents. And some of the best gains have occurred in the LME metals. I'm just going to put up my LME page here, and I dwell on this for a bit because I think this is a terribly, terribly interesting, interesting area, and this is in line with my supply inelasticity theme. This would apply to all industrial commodities. In other words, the supply cannot be increased all that easily. That said, I just mentioned that OPEC's talking about pumping an extra 2 million barrels, and that would certainly be increasing supply. And I previously described oil as having the most elasticity in terms of actual crude production. But the inelasticity label applies to oil a lot more than it does to stock markets, for example, or government bonds, which are churned out by the billions. Okay. Now, looking at some of the metals today, I have positions. I'm only playing the backwardations. That's where there's a premium of the spot material, spot price, over the futures prices, and the normal measure is spot price versus the third month position. And there are four metals that qualify on that basis, four industrial metals that qualify on that basis, and they are copper. And that chart is certainly improving. I may well buy copper next week. And lead, where I have a long position, very good day here in lead today. It's up $25 to 804. It was higher. It was up at 817. But again, the euro came off those earlier highs. Tin, so copper, lead, tin, and nickel. And they've all had good gains in here today. Now, tin currently trading at 9,080 on the 3 month position, and we've got the cash price up at 9,600. So we've got this $520 backwardation here. This is really very big, and that of course works in your favor if you're holding a holding a position in these metals as I am. Now, what I've done today is that I've placed in the money stops. Previously, I didn't have stops on these positions. They're not large positions. The only large position I've got in metals is my silver position, and I've described that as position as unnecessarily risky in the past. But now that I have in the money stops on my tin and the lead, I may look to increase those positions, add the copper, possibly nickel. In other words, beef these positions up a little bit. That won't work in the short term if the dollar rallies sharply. But if the dollar weakens, it could lead to some very quick and substantial gains. Now, while I'm on the subject of commodities, and I'll move to oil last here in a minute, but I noticed that orange juice is currently up a dollar on the July position. If it were to maintain that, it would provide another upside key day reversal, and we had one of those I think about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I described at the time or shortly thereafter that sometimes when a very overstretched trend is in its latter throes, that you start to get the keys, they don't but there's no follow through, and that's a critical factor with a dynamic signal like that. But what they are is that they're warning shots that we're beginning to move. If the trend has been downwards, as it has been for orange juice, that demand is still overwhelmed by supply, but is beginning to pick up, producing some more dramatic signals, such as those keys. The example I gave was the same thing happened with the NASDAQ back in early 2000. It would have some downside key day reversals, but it never fell for more than 2 days, and then it would push back up again. But they were warning shots across the bow, as it were, just indicating that supply was starting to increase relative to demand. Well, I'm saying with orange juice that demand is starting to increase relative to supply, and we may well see I expect to see a very sharp bear covering rally in the not too distant future there. So something I will watch very closely next week and beyond. Okay, moving now to the oil market, which is the most important commodity of all. That OPEC announcement has created quite a good reaction in here, currently down 95 cents, and that has taken the spot price NYME back below $40, not significantly, but it's at 39.85 as I speak, and that's helped sentiment on Wall Street, as I mentioned earlier. Now, my view is, and I've talked a lot about oil recently and put up a lot of charts saying that the oil charts were getting overstretched and therefore could easily see reactions, but that the overall long-term chart developments suggest that we are in an era of higher energy prices for the foreseeable future, and that will increase inflationary pressures in the short to medium term, and it will also poses a considerable risk for GDP growth in the very short term. If the oil increases lead to some self-feeding profit taking, pulling these contracts back, that will help stock markets to rally back towards the middle to upper side of their trading this year's trading ranges, because oil has, as you will well aware, has been a major concern recently. So, again, coming back to bottom line in here, for investors, for conservative investors, this is a time not to consider any heroics. Well, conservative investors, by definition, perhaps aren't going to be considering any heroics, but I'd be careful. I've stressed over and over that this is a risky environment. I wasn't saying this this time last year. I was saying that we had everything in place for a good medium-term rally. The dangers have increased very, very considerably here. My best outlook for stock markets is sideways ranging overall, and you really will have to come up with some exceptional choices to do well, and the risk environment means that I want to have a lot of cash, which is my investment position, and I'm more interested in shorting stocks, as I've already said. I want to be careful in bonds in terms of not having any long-term exposure, and I'm also looking for short opportunities. And in terms of, if you want to have any speculative plays, I think the best opportunities are in the supply and elasticity field, which brings us right back to commodities. Have an excellent weekend. I will be cycling in Wales, and I hope you're doing something equally interesting. All the best.